Human nature can get a little messy, but nature is powerful enough to save us from ourselves. Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent lifts away tough stains with a 97% bio-based formula. For when you think whipping up yellow curry chicken in white pants is a great idea, totally not speaking from experience. Let nature do its thing, so you can feel confident doing yours. That's the power of Seventh Generation. Find Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent in fresh lavender and other scents at SeventhGeneration.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's not easy being Jeff Lewis.
I have a one-on-one coming up.
How's that going to be for you?
Great, I get to talk about myself for 3 hours. And I apologize. I'm not sorry at all. And she ended up getting sued.
Oh, shit.
Whoa. You got to be very careful when you do these podcasts. Everyone, you shouldn't be here.
Jeff Lewis has issues.
Hey, it's Jeff Lewis, and I have issues. In today's episode, Colton Underwood and Monica Casey join the show. We talk about coming out of the closet, the cost of a baby, and blackmail. For those of you who do not know who Colton Underwood is, you were originally you were on season, was it 14 of The Bachelorette? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And that was in 2018, I believe.
Gosh, time flies.
As you know, some of the research that Jameson does is, by the way, you were, there was a couple of mistakes on the research.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. So I had to talk about it with Colton.
Sorry.
Just to make sure. Anyway, so 2000.
Happy Monday.
Your wings just got clipped.
You were eliminated. Was it 8 weeks in on The Bachelorette?
It's so funny because now you're like, this is a dating show. I'm like, I got fourth. Like, my competitive brain. It's like, yeah, I got fourth on Bachelorette.
Okay. Then you go to season. This is all in 1 year period, correct?
Yeah.
You then go film season 5 of The Bachelor in Paradise.
Brutal.
Okay. I don't recall watching that. What happened? Were you not there very long?
No, I mean, I was there way too long, which was like 10 days of filming. But they don't have air conditioning, and I cried a lot, and it was a whole thing.
I can't stand to be hot.
Oh, yeah. I went, you get 2 pieces of luggage when you travel for the show. I did one with like swimsuits, tanks, and then I went to Home Depot and bought a like outdoor air conditioner unit to throw in my room. So that
Smart.
Was, I showed up with a Home Depot box as my second piece of luggage for this show.
How long were you there?
10 days.
Okay. And then
on TV.
And are you like in a bunk bed situation with all
yes,
the other dudes?
You're sharing a room.
Oh.
Stinky. I mean, probably
sounds
good
fun.
In a sense. Now
crabs
that we
in
know
your bag.
We know, but,
it's just no doors. There's no doors.
Wait,
on
where
the
was this?
Are we in Tulum?
Salalito.
That does not sound like paradise at all. It doesn't sound like Las Ventanas.
For the viewers, it's paradise.
What?
For the viewers, it's paradise.
I see. Yes, okay. Yes. Yeah, no.
It's not that resort.
Crabs and...
What kind of crabs?
Not the kind of crabs we had.
Yeah. They're not cute.
Not the kind you eat.
They're not cute.
Then you go on to season 23 of The Bachelor in 2019.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. And then your backstory is you played college football. You then played NFL football.
Yeah.
This was before, obviously, all the Bachelor shows were filmed.
Yeah. 17 years of my life, I sort of dedicated and committed to football through like Pop Warner to high school, through college, and then 3 years on practice squads.
Okay, so then you've had kind of a busy last like 4 years, 5 years. So then you do find someone on The Bachelor.
Yep.
And you date for, is it a year?
Date for a little over a year, yeah.
And then that crashed and burned.
Yeah, I thought my life was crashing and burning at that point.
Then you do a bunch of self-realization. And you figure out that you are gay. You come out publicly, and you also do this.
Yes, queen.
and you do this in conjunction with a documentary on Netflix.
Yeah,
which is called Coming Out, Colton. So are we all caught up now?
Yeah.
Now can we get to the gay stuff?
Yeah.
My wiki page is complete. Here we go.
Yeah, there we go.
What did I get wrong? I thought I had all that.
It was this podcast.
You know what's so funny? Because when I'm reading, I think, is this correct? Because he's got a podcast now, Colton,
right?
And it's called Daddyhood.
Got that.
And it said new eps, you in the rundown, put new eps every Tuesday.
I look at and I look at the date they were released.
He told me it was Wednesday.
Oh, is maybe my producer's releasing them Tuesday evening to make sure they're live on Wednesday?
So I look at the date and I look at the calendar.
In my defense.
The producer's, yeah.
Let me check the records.
Don't call me out. Don't call me out.
Okay, I'm sorry if I'm incorrect.
No, it's okay.
And if it's his producer, not my producer.
It's okay. But I would like that producer on the line. Stat!
Jameson is pink.
Jameson is he's a little agitated today because his... he's in an interracial relationship with a beautiful black man named Frank.
Yes.
And Frank has been gone for a few days. So living his best life in New York City without him. Now, I did see a couple posts. He looks real happy.
Yeah, he's there for work. He's having a great time.
He's there for work?
Yeah, he is there for
work.
Got
it.
And he shouldn't be having so much fun.
I want him to have, of course he should have fun.
And you weren't invited?
I wouldn't, no. I'm not going to take off from work to go on his work trip.
It's a weekend.
I'm not going
Did you work Saturday and Sunday?
I wanted a quiet weekend. I was happy to have a quiet weekend.
So you weren't invited?
He would have gladly brought me with him.
Okay.
He would have gladly. I'm not concerned. Thank you so much.
Well, that makes one of us. He looks, I mean, if you see the picture, Colton, he looks real happy. Frank.
And he's so handsome.
I'm going to have to look.
So handsome.
And he's a nice guy.
He's a great guy. Mm-hmm. My beautiful boyfriend.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
He left out.
You almost said it.
He's wonderful.
I've never, ever been happier.
I watched Coming Out, Colton. I binged it yesterday. It's 6 episodes. They're like 30 minutes. They range.
Yeah,
like,
that's quick. It's good. So
like
you can...
30 to 40 minutes.
Love a good streaming service.
Yeah.
And
there's something to that binge watch.
Yeah.
Just boom, boom. It just kept.
Yeah. I love also the challenge of like hitting next episode before it like fully goes through.
Because I feel
like
trailers.
I feel like I heard that like shows get more of a bump or get more like, I don't know, like notice when you do that.
Monica and I were watching at the same time.
And texting.
And we were texting.
Oh, gosh.
And so I'll just be honest. I mean, you're obviously an attractive guy, which is why we're watching. One of the reasons why we're watching. Because otherwise we can watch any gay guy.
Sure.
Right? So it was like episode 2. And I'm like, Monica. Every fucking scene, he's wearing 5 layers of clothes. Like, at what point does he take his shirt off?
I was like, it's Colorado.
That was what I liked in episode 3. I was
finally, the shirt came off.
A little horny. I was like, okay, like, it's been emotional.
The coming out party.
Yeah, and now it's like, okay, now we're horned up.
Yeah.
I got a little worried by episode 1 and 2 because I'm like, when did we take him to High Tops? When does he start drinking and dancing?
Yes.
When
two,
does he
baby.
Lose the shirt? Then season 3, you started warming up. Mm-hmm. So for all of those that you're going to watch, you can watch a little of one. Okay, I have to say.
Oh, my God, no, it was amazing.
I'm obsessed with your friend Gus.
Yeah.
So
I'm obsessed with Cassidy. Where is she?
Oh, her and I are still besties. Okay, she's still in Denver.
Okay, so she was your BFF that was on the show. And then Gus Kenworthy, the former Olympic skier, he's actually a funny guy.
He's great.
Are you still close with him?
Yeah, him and I are very, very different people, which I think is why it worked really well. Just because I'm a little more timid and shy. And to your point of like, why weren't you out in the bars? Like, that was so intimidating to me. That was as real as any show or, you know, project can possibly get, just because it was all in real time.
Well, I was like, when I was watching, I was like, is he really this innocent? Is he really? Because there's a part of me that thought there's another side to you that we're not seeing. Like maybe you're quite not as innocent as you claim to be. That's just me watching the show.
Yeah.
I mean, but
that's you like projecting your experience.
Yes,
possibly.
Yeah.
I will say I'm not a crier. I teared up when you came out to your mom.
Yeah.
Mm. I teared up more when you came out to your dad. I kind of cried a little bit when you you came out publicly on Good Morning America. And I don't know what it was. I don't know if it's my hormones, because, you know, Shane has not been injecting me properly.
You're finally getting them. The testosterone is finally kicking in.
You know about this.
So, but it was, I think as a gay man, and it doesn't matter, you know, your experience, I think there's parts of that show you can definitely relate to. And you do feel for you because you were so desperately holding on to your old life. And this is just my opinion.
Yeah.
Desperately holding on to your own life. You were so to your old life, and you were so afraid of losing family members, of losing friends. And that is something that is a legitimate concern, I think, that all of us have gone through when you come out.
Yeah.
I personally had a very, very positive experience. And it seems like from the show, you did too. Your family. However, here's the other thing. I feel like my family, if I had bamboozled them on camera like you did and not give them a warning, they know how to play it. Oh my God, we just love you anyway.
Yeah.
We're so supportive. But my family, they're, you know, I don't know. Like, I feel like they were actually, my one brother was not okay. And it was actually not the brother I thought.
Interesting.
My younger brother, Todd, who were very close, I thought he'd be cool, no problem. And then Greg, my middle brother, would have an issue with me. It was the reverse.
People surprise you.
And I was
always pleasantly surprised. There was a few people that it didn't catch me off guard, but I was like, oh, I thought this was going to be a little bit better. But for the most part, everybody on the show, when I did that.
Well, because they were on camera.
Were they the same on camera as off camera?
Yes. I mean, a lot of people had follow-up questions when the cameras were down. And rightfully so.
Your mom.
Yes, like my mom. Yeah. I love her
I
so much.
I still can't believe, because even watching it, I was like, they had to have known before.
I know.
They were playing it so cool and calm and collected, yeah. And maybe that's just how
they were
are
on the other
parents.
Two shows. So my family,
so they've already been on. Because I was going to say,
they were
how
on
easily
the Bachelorette
did people
and the Bachelor.
Sign on to do this? But so they've already been on camera. They have a little.
They'd been on camera, but the project that they thought this was just a follow up after my Bachelor life.
So they really were surprised, genuinely.
Yes, yeah, it was all very like, but I trust them. Like that was like, and not that they're just going to put on a show for cameras. Like I actually deep down trusted that. They would have a good response and they would have legit and
do you think it was
appropriate questions.
Made it easier for you or almost put yourself in the spot to force yourself to do it by doing it on camera?
Cameras,
like you can't chicken out now.
The cameras held me accountable.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
The two things that I credit to me coming out was obviously COVID. COVID and going through a mental breakdown, which I feel like a lot of people found themselves during COVID. So COVID and then the cameras. The cameras held me accountable. When I was going into a scene or, you know, an unscripted television, you know, you still have to have a schedule and a scene and you sort of set the stage. I knew like this scene I'm coming out to my mom, this scene I'm coming out to my dad, this mm-hmm. scene I'm coming out to my brother. And those were order like already conversations that I had with production of like, here's the order that I want to come out in and here's like how I want. And some of it pushed with like, you know, and once you come out to your first person, it's sort of like ripping the Band-Aid off. You're like, I want to come out to everybody.
I had, I came out to my stepmother and had her tell my dad. I was like a little bit of a pussy that way. And then when my mom was already deceased, but when I came out to my grandmother, which honestly, whether it had been on camera or off camera, she would have still said the same thing. Well, I feared it.
Oh, she said feared.
She was very supportive.
I came out to my grandparents. This scene didn't make Netflix, but I came out to my grandparents while we were playing a game of Rummy. And my grandma goes, I had a feeling and I've just been waiting for you to tell us. And then my grandpa looks at me and goes, it's your turn. Didn't say a word, just didn't respond. He's in, like, I mean that because he's so lovely, but it just was like, aww. Okay, next. Like, I don't want to talk about this.
I've told this story like 1,000 times, but after my grandmother was visibly upset and we started just kind of having a conversation, she was actually the closest person in my life. And, when I started talking about how I wanted kids, she suddenly turned it around, was happy, was positive, and I realized all you wanted was great-grandchildren, and you don't care how you get it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we're good. Song she gets her great-grandkid, she doesn't care.
Yeah. It's interesting after coming out, too, because, and I'm not in it as much as I used to be, but your coming out experience obviously lasts longer than just coming out. You're like picking apart different pieces of your life and what I want to keep with me, what I want to leave in the past, what values or traditional or societal norms like am I like holding on to or am I like letting go? And I feel like, you know, in the gay community, it's often one or the other. You sort of either like burn everything down and you sort of just reframe life how you want to go about it. But for me, it was very much dissecting my past between athletics, religion, and family and figuring out what was important to me. Like, what am I keeping with me as a gay man? And what am I leaving in the past?
There was in episode 1 and 2, it was hard to watch because you were very conflicted. You were very, and there's a lot of guilt. There was some self-hate, and it was very hard to watch you go through that. Then in episode 3, you took that shirt off and went to the sex shop and it was, you know.
Put the wings on.
Yeah. And then you, but you, even then, it's like the, you know, your friends started rallying around you and they took you out, and you could tell you were very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I can tell, being a very public person, because everybody was watching you and to see how you'd react and what's his next step. And that there's a lot of pressure there.
Yeah. And the party life has never been one for me. Like, I've never really, even when I was straight, I was not doing one night stands, obviously. And I was not hooking, like, that was never really like my scene or my vibe. So when they took me there, I was excited to like go meet new people and go out in Nashville. But that wasn't really as authentic as, like, you know, what I wanted out of life at that point. I wasn't ready to go party. I think they wanted me to, like, you know,
yeah,
have some interest with somebody.
Yeah,
and like really lean into
out.
It.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not me.
Well, when you watch the show, you can kind of, you know, you get an idea of your morals and what's important to you. And I could tell that you really just wanted love. Like, you really just wanted to fall in love. It wasn't about, you're right, it wasn't about partying or sex or whatever.
Yeah.
And you did find your person pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I did.
Like, within a year of coming out.
Yeah. We tried to keep it under, I at least did, and he did too, because he's a little more private than I am. But we just tried to keep it under wraps and protect it for as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I went on a handful of dates, some of them bad, some of them, you know, sort of average. And then I was just like, you know, I finally met Jordan. And I was like, oh, this is it. And, you know, I had everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, a lot of people in my ear just being like, stay single, go have fun, play the field, go, like, you know, go be gay for a while and right. then get into a relationship.
You know, I could just gab for hours.
Not me. I didn't want that.
Yeah.
I sort of wanted to find my person.
So how long were you single before you met your husband?
His whole life.
After you came out. Not very long, right?
No, we actually met at a Netflix wrap party. Uh-huh. So as we were sort of wrapping the show, but didn't like
was
connect
it love
there.
At first sight for you?
No, it was it like I don't know. No, it yeah. wasn't. But and then 2 months later, we're on a P-Town trip, and he was on the same trip, and then we didn't officially date. I would say 6 months. I was single. Five or 6 months. I was like fully single and going. I went on a handful of dates. I tried some of the apps mm-hmm. and. That didn't work. I'm
surprised because you're so
DMs.
Public.
I super liked and no response.
Oh, you did?
No, I don't know.
Shame.
Okay. He's still waiting for the Aladdin actor to get back to him as well.
I actually am happily partnered, so I don't need Aladdin or Cole.
We took Monroe to see Aladdin.
Yes.
Twice.
Yeah.
And Shane DM'd Aladdin a few times, and Aladdin never responded.
He was so talented.
Who is Aladdin?
We don't know. Just
don't
some
know.
Hot guy.
But how'd you find him? I'm always so interested when people go about the sleuths of the internet.
It wasn't that hard. I kept my playbill. I took it home. I was like,
oh,
he's so
okay.
talented. I want to say
it.
Good job.
Smart.
And do you want a drink? And should we go out?
I'm in town. Yeah.
So when Monica and I were texting, I'm like, what episode are you on? She's like, I'm on 2. I'm like, I'm on 3. Monica's like, I'm more gay than him.
In that moment, it's true. It was probably
true. And I say that also because I was born and raised in San Francisco. So, yeah. I mean.
I think I told you guys over coffee. The reason why I said yes, because like a show like that typically wouldn't just fall in somebody's lap. But like we were already working on another show together with the production company. And then my life sort of spiraled. And the two gay men, the two gay producers were basically like, came to me and they're like, we sort of know what's going on here. If you guys want, if you want to film this, let's start talking about it.
Wow.
And the next time I was in LA, we had a meeting. And the first two times I was like, I don't think I can do this. It's going to be too much. And then I finally said yes. And I'm glad I did because it wasn't a show for New York or LA. I mean, a lot of people in New York and LA probably watched it and I'm very proud of it, but it was more so for like other parts of the world. Which, like, that's the cool thing about Netflix is I wake up and every morning there's a message from somebody in Sweden, Norway, like, all these different countries being like, this helped. But
yeah,
the show is
Canada
for middle America.
Now. Just so you know.
Canada.
Jeff
we're helping Canada.
Yeah, we're in Canada.
Shout out, Canada.
He doesn't know what to go with that. He's
no,
like,
well, no, what are
Canadians are tough. It's just like, they're sort of dry. I don't know. I've met a few great Canadians, but they're just...
Shout out to the great Canadians.
Yeah.
Are you able to rewatch the show, or is it like, wow, this is a time of my life where it was just like
I look like
chaos.
A shell of a human being in,
well,
in the show.
Well, you were really
going through
a huge transition.
Yeah. And I was guarded. I was weirdly jaded by like the public and press and even my stint on Bachelor. I was just not in a great place.
But how does it feel that you, I mean, think about it. You came out and then like a year later, you meet your husband. I mean, how amazing your life has changed by just going, okay, I'm dropping the facade. I have to be who I am.
I'm so glad I did it.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously. Life has changed dramatically.
Dramatically. My life's been crazy. I mean, it's just like, how did I end up in any of the positions that I ended up in? Mm-hmm. Between playing football to becoming The Bachelor and the straightest show to then coming out. It's been a wild, wild few years.
Ross has all the spring deals you want, so you can say yes to more looks for you and your budget. Tube tops for less? Yes. Dad shorts for the weekend? Yes. Mini skirts for less than online? That's a yes for you and your bank account. Find your certified yes for me moment and save 20 to 60% off department store prices every day at Ross. Hurry in for spring deals today. Items and styles vary by store.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Human nature can get a little messy, but nature is powerful enough to save us from ourselves. Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent lifts away tough stains with a 97% bio-based formula. For when you think whipping up yellow curry chicken in white pants is a great idea, totally not speaking from experience. Let nature do its thing, so you can feel confident doing yours. That's the power of Seventh Generation. Find Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent in fresh lavender and other scents at SeventhGeneration.com.
Also, I just want to warn you of the DMs that you'll be getting following appearing on this show.
Oh, no.
This is just one chump. On Friday morning, I got this. Jeffrey, please, can we talk about Doug and Sal's relationship? So Sal is Doug's really good friend. They do this show called C&K together on Thursday nights. I really feel like Sal wants to press Doug into an anti-Ann pretzel shape. We all know Doug's a secret bottom. Also, I'd still like your brother to mouthfuck me. Happy Friday, babe.
Jesus.
Wow. Well, at least they ended with Happy Friday, babe.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, my brother...
That was a saving grace.
My brother is very straight, but he's very gay friendly.
Okay.
He will love this compliment.
I think you should frame it.
I'm
going to
send him his profile.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he'll bring it up. He will bring it up. He will talk about it. All right. So really quickly, I do believe that this blackmail incident that occurred where someone threatened to expose you. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So it wasn't about they wanted money or anything. They just, or did they want money?
No, it was just a weird list of things that they wanted that were very specific and particular. And it was a whole thing. They claim to have photos of me coming out of a spa in a spa here in LA that is very gay friendly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was something that was very scary. So the first person I came out to was my publicist, and right. He was a gay man, and he asked me
because you're like, what am I gonna do here? Were you getting multiple DMs or emails or what?
They actually emailed at my time. They emailed my foundation director, which was a whole problem in itself because then I was like. Are we telling the board you got this email? And, you know, it was just it was a tricky situation.
Did they send pictures?
They did not. Well,
but they threatened
not to me.
Them.
They worked with my professional team and things got sorted how they got sorted. Weirdly, I'm thankful.
Well, of course, if you reframe.
Now that I'm outside, it pushed me out of the closet.
Yeah.
Which I don't think anybody ever should be because at that time, you know, when those emails were coming in and as I was going through it, I was really in a dark place. Yeah. I was on Lexapro and my Xanax and abusing the
Xanax. Did you get it from Krista?
I did not get it from Mexico, unfortunately. But now that
Mexico.
I know.
Mexico.
Yeah. It's a weird thing to sort of, on one hand, be grateful to the people that tried to forced your hand.
Yeah. So this is what I wanted to bring up. Like, I'm sure you had some experiences. You didn't, you know, when you were doing the show, you know, you were innocent. You seemed innocent, but obviously there were some sort of experiences before.
Oh,
you,
yeah.
You must, because you have to experience to know that this is what you indeed want, right?
Yeah. So I had experiences all the way from my college days, too.
I see.
Yeah.
And you were, I remember that you were called like the virgin bachelor, but you weren't a virgin, were you?
With women, yes.
You were?
Yeah.
And are or no? Still? Oh, you don't want to answer that.
That's
sorry.
I mean, there's only one person that could be, so it's a little like on.
Fine. We won't say anything.
Explicative. But yeah.
I do believe it, you know, it did happen for you. So fast forward, you after you come out, within 6 months, you meet your current husband.
Yeah.
And you get engaged pretty quickly, like within
a
year.
Yeah,
and then married a year later. And now you guys are starting the journey. You're exploring having children.
Yeah.
Hence the new podcast, Daddyhood.
Yeah.
And then where, so you have already, what, found a donor, found...
Oh, gosh. We've been going through it for almost 2 years now. I mean, as you know, you've went through probably a similar, it hasn't changed much, I assume, but all the paperwork, a nine person fertility team. I'm just helping us
and lawyers,
find
right?
eggs,
how many
lawyers?
I think that's part of it. There is there's a lot of people on the payroll. I do remember that.
How much does it cost? Ballpark.
Well, we talked about
100
it.
Up.
Ours is about 300.
Yeah, we were at 225, and that was 7 years ago.
Inflation.
8 years ago.
Inflation.
And that was really
the price
expensive.
Of eggs.
Price of eggs. The price of eggs skyrocketed after you, Jeff.
Did you have you already created embryos?
Yes.
And then how many, and I'm assuming you use
we
both.
We split. So our egg donor had 22 eggs.
Wow.
We split 11 and 11. From that, Jordan got two embryos. I got one, which, I mean, obviously people listening, that's not a great number. It's somewhat average. We were a little bit below average just in the statistics of creating embryos. But the way someone put it to me that made a lot of sense and made me feel better was the eggs that did not actually make it to become embryos when they were fertilized with the sperm would have been your miscarriages.
Mm.
So like it's almost like we didn't have to deal with that heart, you know, that sort of that heartbreak.
Because don't they look at the fertilized eggs by a percentage of viability and then that's the ones that you choose?
Correct. Yeah, they take a lot of things into account for that.
So we ended up with 3 and 3, Gage and I.
Okay.
Monroe was one of mine.
Yeah.
And then I tried again. And it didn't take. And then I have one left. And then we had to legally split them. Of course, I paid for that. But we had to legally split them. So he now has his 3 and I have my
one. I want to ask, because this was the most jarring part of the experience was actually right at the beginning, is Jordan and I walk in to do all the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar, if you remember all of this, but you are signing a stack of papers and having to make decisions in front of a notary about deep if you guys die within 48 hours of each other, within 24 hours, if you die together, who gets your embryos, who gets access to your sperm? And you sort of have to leave it as like a will of like families or like, can Jordan, if I pass, can Jordan use my embryos for himself? Can he use his with another person? Like you're making all of these really intimate, deep things in front of a notary and we're having these conversations. It took us 2 hours to get through this paperwork because we had to have conversations that we've never had before. And nobody like warned us about this. So there's a lot of mystery in the fertility.
Mm-hmm.
And that was partially of the reason. And I just wanted to humanize it for people. I mean, people already heard they're like $300,000. It sounds very transactional when you start talking about fertility and expanding your family and IVF. But the fact is, it's still very emotional. It's a very emotional process to go through and very expensive.
Yes, it is. I think the big thing for us, which you and I talked about at Tyler Cameron's party the other night, was that we had picked, because the doctor had said, do you want a boy or a girl? And I just said, you know, we just want like a healthy baby. And then he kind of was like, look, either you're going to pick the gender or I'm going to pick the gender. So then we had this whole conversation, Gage and I, we decided we'd want it to do the boy. But then the day of the transfer is the day that the doctor said, I'm recommending you do the girl because she has a stronger chance of survival. So it was almost like a surprise to us because for months we thought we were going to have a boy.
Yeah.
And then last minute, it's a girl. So, I mean, that was actually kind of a fun surprise now in hindsight. But I don't know.
We told our doctor just to put, you know, once we're planning right now. So when we're in these conversations with our doctor, you sort of have to be intentional. You get asked questions all the time. You have to make so many decisions in this process. We just said put our healthiest embryo in. And then when we go again, swap the embryo. So just because we want, biologically, we want one of each.
You do, and you plan it that way, but it doesn't necessarily happen that
way. Yeah. So, you know, because
I thought I'd end up with a boy
so
and a girl. Yeah. And I think because the first experience was so seamless, I just assumed that I was going to be pregnant again. So, and actually that got caught. That was the one good thing Jen Green ever did. But she was able to document in the moment me getting the results. I wasn't planning on doing that, getting the results. But I was 150% convinced I was going to be pregnant.
Yeah.
We were picking out names. We're like, oh,
yeah.
This,
so yeah. When I wasn't, it was just like a gut punch. And I really just had trouble keeping my composure because it wasn't what I expected.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times through this process you learn something new. It's been very bonding for us, which has surprised me just because I was a little nervous going in, expanding your family for two gay men. You don't feel as a part of the process just because, like, obviously these women are incredible. They're injecting themselves with hormones. They're literally helping you grow your family.
Well, I do that too every day.
But you did it wrong for a year. So
I'm sorry, Shane does it every day.
That's
Thank
true.
You. But yeah, it's just, there's so much. And it's been so fun for me to dive into the world. And I've already learned a lot.
Yeah, just, I mean, I would have said wait longer, but because your whole life is going to change. But you see, know, you're already kind of more, you're more like focused on family and
well,
all
that. Well, it's true story. When I was in the second grade, I had somebody basically say, it was second grade, it was early elementary, kindergarten, whatever it was, first grade. They were like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I wrote NFL player down. Mm-hmm. And they're like, go back to your desk and do a more reasonable or like a more achievable profession.
And you wrote The Bachelor.
I wrote stay-at-home dad. The Bachelor too. I wrote The Bachelor and like, yeah, right, go back to your desk and do it again. I wrote stay-at-home dad. I always wanted a family. I always wanted to be a dad.
Well, I already know what preschool you're going to go to, so we'll talk about that.
We'll get you
I already
in.
Know what elementary school you're going to go to,
oh,
so we'll talk about that.
My kids are going to public school.
Oh, okay.
I think there's some.
No, the preschool, you there's
preschool's not
you
public.
Have to do
yeah,
private
you
preschool.
To,
I can do public.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
I think I want I'm
okay,
making
but you,
all these decisions without my husband. And I want them to go through public school. I don't know.
It depends on your school district. It depends on the, you know, I mean, we've talked about this many times. Sometimes you might have in your neighborhood,
definitely,
which is my old neighborhood,
until fifth grade,
you might have you probably have a strong elementary school, maybe a strong junior high, but then maybe high school. No, that's a whole other conversation.
Okay.
What I want to talk about is that you are, you know, you had told me the other night that I need to date with intent. Is that correct?
Yeah. I think most people, after they heard I came out, they're like, why would you waste all your time and the women's time on The Bachelor? And the one thing for me that I've taken away, and most women from my season, I've either reached out or been very supportive. I learned so much from that show as far as dating with intent, because when you don't have your phone, and you're actually like there, you have to talk about real things. And I took that into my gay life. And as I was on dates, it seems a little intimidating. And I'm sure it intimidated a lot of the men that I had those first dates with, and nothing else happened because they're like, this dude's intense. Mm-hmm. But I had my fun while I was in the closet. And I didn't really want to go out and do that again.
Yeah.
And weirdly, I think it was, there was probably part of me subconsciously that didn't want to get back into that pattern just because it was such a dark time in my life when I was like experimenting physically with men and not having that emotional connection. So then when I was out, I was like really honed in on finding an emotional connection with a man.
Yes.
That was the thing that I needed and I wanted now that I was out.
And you manifested it pretty quickly.
Yeah. I'm a big manifester.
Yeah.
Yes.
Same. But I will say that it is kind of fun to be single for a minute. So I've been living my best life the last 6 months. But now what's happening is like,
but you want a partner.
I do. And now I'm kind of at that point now where I'm like, okay, it's been fun, but now I really would like.
Then let's talk about it, because I've already heard a few things, and some of them I'm just like.
No, but I'm reformed.
He's cringing.
I'm a reformed dater. He is cringing.
That was a real cringe.
I'm a reformed dater.
No, how late did you stay at the Tyler Cameron party?
Stop it, Shane. I know where you're going with this.
Did you notice certain, you know, celebs like making out with other?
Oh no, I left before. Yeah, I left probably before the good stuff started happening.
You were smart.
The good stuff was not happening. It was just drunk Jeff.
I was on club soda. Oh, drunk Jeff. Love it,
drunk Jeff. But luckily, I had my son.
Did you tongue swap at the party?
God, just right in front of everybody. So here's the thing, though. No, that's kind of my MO. But here's the thing, I had my son there.
Yeah.
Who was like, time to go.
Yeah.
And so just before it got messy.
Yeah.
He pulled me out of there, which I really appreciate, Shane. Thanks for having my back. He's a good wingman.
Yeah, I saw Tyler's shirt came off, and I was like, oh, they must have had some fun.
I didn't see that.
Wait, well,
his jacket.
Shirt
he had a
party?
Tank. He was wearing a tank. I was just saying, he started showing skin.
I think you pulled me out of there right before that. As soon as
the, did you the wear the mesh tank to that party?
No, the mesh tank was
mesh
HRC.
Photo on your
it's
Instagram.
So funny. They were like, what are you wearing? And I like was like, oh, I don't know where I found this. That mesh tank was like from a sex shop. You know, like you're on the carpet and they're like, who are you wearing tonight? And I'm like,
Hustler.
Does it say Slutty Pig on the back? Like, what brand is this?
Thanks for listening. If you want more of this, listen to Jeff Lewis Live and Jeff Lewis Extended every weekday on Sirius XM, as well as the Jeff Lewis channel, exclusively on the Sirius XM app.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Human nature can get a little messy, but nature is powerful enough to save us from ourselves. Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent lifts away tough stains with a 97% bio-based formula. For when you think whipping up yellow curry chicken in white pants is a great idea, totally not speaking from experience. Let nature do its thing, so you can feel confident doing yours. That's the power of Seventh Generation. Find Seventh Generation laundry detergent in fresh lavender and other scents at SeventhGeneration.com.